In previous years, Harold Parkett had always taken pride in his lawn. He had owned a large silver lawn boy and paid the boy down the block $5 per cutting to push it. In those days, Harold Parkett had followed the Boston Red Sox on the radio with a beer in his hand and the knowledge that God was in his heaven and all was right with the world, including his lawn. But last year, in mid-October, fate had played Harold Parkett a nasty trick. While the boy was mowing the grass for the last time of the season, the Kastenmeyer's dog had chased the Smith's cat under the mower. Harold's daughter had thrown up half a quart of cherry Kool-Aid into the lap of her new jumper, and his wife had nightmares for a week afterward. Although she had arrived after the fact, she had arrived in time to see Harold and the green-faced boy cleaning the blades. Their daughter and Mrs. Smith stood over them, weeping, although Alicia had taken time enough to change her jumper for a pair of blue jeans and one of those disgusting skimpy sweaters. She had a crush on the boy who mowed the lawn. After a week of listening to his wife moan and gobble in the next bed, Harold decided to get rid of the mower. He didn't really need a mower anyway, he supposed. He had hired a boy this year. Next year he would just hire a boy and a mower. And maybe Carla would stop moaning in her sleep. He might even get laid again. So he took the silver lawn boy down to Phil Sunoco, and he and Phil dickered over it. Harold came away with a brand new Kelly Blackwall tire and a tank full of high test, and Phil put the silver lawn boy out on one of the pump islands with a hand-lettered for sale sign on it. And this year, Harold just kept putting off the necessary hiring. When he finally got around to calling last year's boy, his mother told him Frank had gone to the state university. Harold shook his head in wonder and went to the refrigerator to get a beer. Time certainly flew, didn't it? My God, yes. He put off hiring a new boy as first May, and then June slipped past him, and the Red Sox continued to wallow in fourth place. He sat on the back porch on the weekends and watched glumly as a never-ending progression of young boys he had never seen before popped out to mutter a quick hello before taking his buxom daughter off to the local passion pit. And the grass thrived and grew in a marvelous way. It was a good summer for grass, 3 days of shine followed by one of gentle rain, almost like clockwork. By mid-July, the lawn looked more like a meadow than a suburbanite's backyard, and Jack Kastenmeyer had begun to make all sorts of extremely unfunny jokes, most of which concerned the price of hay and alfalfa. And Don Smith's 4-year-old daughter Jenny had taken to hiding in it when there was oatmeal for breakfast or a spinach for supper. One day in late July, Harold went out on the patio during the seventh-inning stretch and saw a woodchuck sitting perkily on the overgrown back walk. The time had come, he decided. He flicked off the radio, picked up the paper, and turned to the classifieds. And halfway down the part-time column, he found this. Lawns mowed, reasonable, 776-2390. Harold called the number, expecting a vacuuming housewife who would yell outside for her son. Instead, a briskly professional voice said, "Pastoral Greenery and Outdoor Services, how may we help you?" Cautiously, Harold told the voice how Pastoral Greenery could help him. Had it come to this, then? Were lawn cutters starting their own businesses and hiring office help? He asked the voice about rates, and the voice quoted him a reasonable figure. Harold hung up with a lingering feeling of unease and went back to the porch. He sat down, turned on the radio, and stared out over his glandular lawn at the Saturday clouds moving slowly across the Saturday sky. Carla and Alicia were at his mother-in-law's, and the house was his. It would be a pleasant surprise for them if the boy who was coming to cut the lawn finished before they came back. He cracked a beer and sighed as Dick Drago was touched for a double and then hit a batter. A little breeze shuffled across the screened-in porch. Crickets hummed softly in the long grass. Harold grunted something unkind about Dick Drago and then dozed off. He was jarred awake a half hour later by the doorbell. He knocked over his beer, getting up to answer it. A man in grass-stained denim overalls stood on the front stoop, chewing a toothpick. He was fat. The curve of his belly pushed his faded blue overall out to a point where Harold half suspected he had swallowed a basketball. "Yes?" Harold Parquette asked, still half asleep. The man grinned, rolled his toothpick from one corner of his mouth to the other, tugged at the seat of his overalls, and then pushed his green baseball cap up a notch on his forehead. There was a smear of fresh engine oil on the bill of his cap. And there he was, smelling of grass, earth, and oil, grinning at Harold Parquette. "Pastoral sent me, buddy," he said jovially, scratching his crotch. "You called, right? Right, buddy?" He grinned on endlessly. "Oh, the lawn. You?" Harold stared stupidly. "Yep, me." The lawnmower man bellowed fresh laughter into Harold's sleep-puffy face.